I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Degenovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
A lot of new information to talk about today regarding the unemployment benefits, questioning why the governor has decided he'll cancel the federal unemployment benefits at $300 extra a week, Dave. Early. He's made the decision to cancel it early, and I want to know what help there is for people who are jobless right now in Utah, and we're going to have a lot of information I feel is going to be very helpful.
Yes, lots of live interviews, and if you are still struggling to find a job, we're going to try to answer the question, is it too late to change careers? It's 9:07. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
And here are three things Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
Well, let's just call it what it is. Canceled. Utah's governor will stop letting Utahns who are jobless collect a $300 weekly benefit from the feds. He's decided to halt payouts by the end of June, which is 9 weeks before the feds had planned to end it. So I want to ask the state's top unemployment insurance expert when he calls the show, did the gov bow to pressure from big business?
Well, I think the governor's a farmer, and farmers want you to eat your vegetables. And I think that's kind of how he sees this, is nobody likes Brussels sprouts, but they're good for you. Sometimes you need to cut people off. Sometimes you have to do it for the greater good. And I think it comes from a good place, although it will affect a lot of families here in Utah.
Countdown to...
Well, you know the place, the old rundown, dilapidated water park that used to be called Raging Waters? It's getting a $10 million infusion of money. And it's taxpayers who are footing the bill. So we're going to slide into this conversation with Salt Lake City Mayor Erin Mendenhall when she calls the show in the 10 o'clock hour. Because her budget caught my eye. She's wanting to spend the money, the $10 million on that old Raging Waters. We're going to ask her. Why at 10:50?
Well, this was my favorite place growing up. I liked it even better than Lagoon. So it's tough to see it go. It is a disaster. If you've seen it, if you've driven past it, it's time.
Let it go, let it go.
Sorry, Raging Waters. You're done.
Launch countdown one.
Out of the gates this morning. Cyber hackers for the win. Why? Well, their lines wrap for blocks as Americans wait to pump a few gallons of gas in their cars. And now prices are soaring above $3 a gallon on average nationally for the first time in 7 years. If you're a hacker, this is a brilliant move. So let's find out if Utah's ready to go to war with a cyber gang like the Dark Side.
Well, this is a reality check, right? Look at what happens when the pipeline goes down for a few days. Can you imagine what would happen if it were for weeks?
Dave and Degenovic.
The launch.
Commence.
KSL's top national story. Special coverage with Dave and Degenovic.
Congratulations to the Dark Side gang. You have made a fool out of Americans. We're crippled by panic at the pump. So we're going to begin our in-depth coverage by asking a very, very important question to a lot of our listeners, Dave. Is Utah ready to beat back a cyber attack enemy like the one that has hacked Colonial Pipeline, brought it to a standstill?
Well, I sure hope we learned something. We learned that we're vulnerable. But the pipeline, it started up again late on Wednesday. But it's still going to take days for it to return to normal. And as we've seen, these crazy lines, as many states along the East Coast, you know, half 3/4 of the gas stations, they've just frankly run out of gas.
Dave, before we get to our live interview with John Wojcik, who has the Utah angle on this, he's been looking into it. Is Utah prepared? Let's remind our listeners what these hackers did. So they infiltrate the computer system, and then they encrypt the data. So it becomes unusable, and at that point, Colonial just decided to shut down the pipeline. And then the hackers generally, and we don't know if it's happened in this case, but generally they demand a ransom be paid. It could be in the millions and millions of dollars, and then they'll give you a mathematical key to decrypt the data. If you're Colonial, you could be getting a mathematical key. But this is 5,500 miles of pipeline, so you're absolutely right, Dave. It's days away from getting gas to the gas stations.
I never think about pipelines. In my mind, all I see is these huge tankers as we're driving down the freeway filled with gas, or when I pull into Maverick and I see them refilling the tanks. That's what's in my mind. I don't think about pipelines. I have no idea where the pipelines in this country are, aside from the Great Alaska Pipeline.
But I want you to think about this, Dave. What if this hit our electrical grid? Could you be without power for 7 to 10 days? What about our water supply? What if hackers got into our water supply and cut it off? John Wojcik has been asking these really important questions. Is Utah ready to fight off a hack like this? John, what have you found out?
And good morning, Debbie. It's an important question because you read about what happened with the pipeline. You start looking around as a Utah resident and you think, what if this happened here pretty much? So what we were able to do was do a little bit of digging, and we also were able to speak with Chris Parker. He's the director of the Division of Public Utilities here for Utah. And pretty much what it sounds like is a lot of these larger entities and companies, whether that be Dominion Energy or Rocky Mountain Power, they have really robust systems. And pretty much what they do is they put together annual reports, and they send them to somebody like Chris Parker. And he said whether it be something like a ransom attack or any number of cyber attacks, that could be phishing or other different ways, sounds like they're pretty well guarded against those type of attacks. The only area, and he wouldn't even call it an area of concern, but if it were to happen here in Utah, he says it would be something to one of the smaller utilities. They have a little bit less sophisticated system when it comes to being able to, you know, set up a line of defense against some of these hackers. So that's pretty much where the state's at. But at this point, he said, when it comes to some of those big companies that a lot of people go through, again, Dominion Energy, Rocky Mountain Power, for example, he says it really isn't much of a concern right now.
John Wojcik, thank you for the update from KSL News Radio. And Debbie, I think about, and I can't help but think about this, you look at what happened when the cold weather hit Texas and their power grid went down, the pipeline shut down. I think we're starting to see how dependent we are on technology and energy, and when it goes down hard.
Straight ahead, Dave, I want to give you 4 reasons why I feel Americans look like the biggest losers in this pipeline attack and why the dark side gets the win.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Dave and Dujanovic have insights on the news you've come to appreciate.
The stories that are really important.
And now we're expanding Dave and Dujanovic from 9 all the way to noon.
Join them on KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national story, special coverage with Dave and Dujanovic.
A good chunk of the nation is probably in a line right now, waiting and waiting for their turn at the gas pump. I want to dive into 4 reasons why I think the gang that hacked Colonial Pipeline gets the win.
He scores!
Oh, they scored big time, Dave.
Yeah, and for every winner, there is a loser. And we are the losers, and we're losing big time right now.
So it's called the Dark Side, and we've talked about them all week long. It's a gang. They think they're out of Russia. FBI is investigating. But even if they catch them, good luck prosecuting them. So what the Dark Side did, Dave, as we know, is they infiltrated this pipeline system. They seized the data. They encrypt the data so nobody can see the data. It forced the company to shut down the pipeline, which is 5,500 miles of pipeline. It pumps jet fuel and gasoline from Texas to New Jersey, and it winds all over the United States. So this is a big, big win for this hacker group, which just launched last summer. Good job. Good job. I mean, they are a brand new hacker group, and look at what they've accomplished. They've made fools out of Americans. So I'm going to give you four reasons why I think the hackers score the win.
He scores.
Panic. Oh.
One of the wild things about this, Debbie, is when you are attacked, if this were war and you were attacked, there would be a proportional response. If you bomb us, if you shoot rockets into us, we would respond with some sort of very tangible and obvious way. What are we going to do about this? Mm. Are we just going to let it happen? Because you cannot let this go unpunished. As you said, it's going to be incredibly difficult. Even if we find out who these hackers are, what are we going to do about it? We've got to be able to figure out how we're going to respond. Because if this is just the tip of the iceberg, and maybe it's the energy, maybe it's our nuclear reactors, whatever it is, this is a bad precedent, and we have to send a very, very strong message that we won't tolerate these kind of attacks in America.
In the meantime, we look like fools.
Yes.
We look like fools. I mean, so, and the hackers love this. This is exactly, so the same video we're watching on the nightly news, or we're seeing online of long lines of cars wrapped around blocks and people fighting at the gas pump. And gas pumps, 70%, by the way, in some cities, the gas supplies just plumb dried up, including Atlanta, a major city. 70% of gas stations are out of gasoline. Panic. So that's one reason. That's the first reason I think they've scored the win here. Is they have Americans in a panic, which reminds me of what we went through about a year ago, Dave.
Toilet paper?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we made fools out of ourselves then. Here we are again.
Okay, this is why it won't be the toilet paper of 2021. People just don't have that many gas tanks, right? You can fill up your car and maybe a few, you know, lawnmower gas cans. But, you know, with toilet paper, you could have stacked up floor to ceiling in every corner of your house. You can't really store gas.
Oh, you bet. I wonder if they're going to start to ration while they wait for the gas, the jet fuel, whatever, to wind its way through that 5,500 miles, if they'll start to limit, like they have toilet paper, how many gallons of gas you can stick in your car. Okay, the second reason why I feel the hackers, the dark side gang, gets the win here, prices. Congratulations, guys. You've just made gas prices surge to over $3 a gallon for the first time on average across this nation in 7 years. So remember that Colonial, that long pipeline, it supplies 45% of the East Coast with its gasoline. Now, AAA has come out and said, hey, we do not expect it to impact gas prices here. But gas prices were already creeping up, Dave.
I was going to say, I've been paying over $3 a gallon forever.
But that's on average across the nation.
Why are we paying so much?
Probably taxes.
I was going to say, it had nothing to do with
probably
the pipeline.
Probably the taxes they tack on. The third reason I think the pipeline gets the loss, Americans get the loss, and the hackers get the win, the profit. The hackers are going to profit. They're going to be laughing all the way to the bank. We don't know if they've squeezed any money out of Colonial. But if they do, it'll probably be millions of dollars in ransom so Colonial can decrypt what's been encrypted.
Well, the average ransomware, the average payout is about $300,000. Well, on something this scale, this size, with this kind of resource, I mean, I would imagine tens of millions. I don't even want to know what the number is.
Because of the pipeline shutdown, of course, the national media is focused on the pipeline company. And again, the cyber hackers for the win because, well, they just made a fool out of what auditors found and has now been revealed about the pipeline security.
New revelations about security at the pipeline company. The Associated Press reports an audit 3 years ago found glaring deficiencies. The firm that conducted the audit saying, quote, an eighth grader could have hacked into that system. In response, Colonial says its workers are constantly assessing and improving our security practices, both physical and digital. Colonial has not said how the hackers gained access to its network or if a ransom was paid.
An eighth grader.
I'm pretty sure a ransom was paid. I mean, let's not pretend like they just kind of convinced them. Hey, will you just send us the decryption key for free? I mean, we talked to the University of Utah this week. When they were hacked last summer, they paid out more than $450,000 to hackers to keep their information private. $450,000 for what I think most of us would say, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But when you're talking about real resources, when you're talking about gasoline or energy, that is something we can't live without.
So the fourth reason, Dave, that I think hackers get the win is because they brought out a very pathetic side of Americans. Going back to our desire to hoard when supply gets low. This breach has actually created a domino effect that prompted a brand new federal warning to Americans yesterday. I think the feds tweeted this out, actually. Don't fill up plastic grocery bags with fuel to hoard it. Okay, because it's dangerous.
An old viral video prompted the federal government today to post a tweet saying, do not fill plastic bags with gasoline.
I am not kidding you. They're worried about us panicking so much that we'll start filling up those cheap plastic grocery bags with gasoline.
Stop telling me what to do, big brother. If I want to fill up gasoline in plastic garbage sacks, that's what I'm going to do. No, it's terrible. It's insane that we have to tell people that. That seems like it should be pretty common sense.
So we just heard from KSL News Radio's John Wojcik on what Utah is doing regarding major infrastructure and protecting it from hackers like the dark side. What about our electrical grid? Could we go 7 to 10 days without electricity? What happens if a hacker hacks into our water supply, our water systems? Could we go 7 to 10 days without water or longer? And John looked into it, and the people who run these utilities say, hey, we are doing everything we can. We're doing everything we can to stop hackers from infiltrating our systems. Let me tell you why I doubt we are totally ready. And John alluded to this in his reporting with us earlier. He said the smaller utility companies might struggle with their systems and security. I'm not convinced, and I haven't been convinced for about a decade, that Utah is totally ready because of what happened in 2012 when hackers infiltrated the state of Utah's Medicaid system. Okay, they got in there and they stole personal data for almost 800,000 Utahns. They infiltrated the system, Dave, and here's how they were able to infiltrate the system. I had to go back through a Salt Lake Tribune article to remind myself of what happened in that case. There was an IT worker who did not change the factory password. Something so simple allowed hackers into a very robust state database that housed hundreds of thousands of files, personal information for hundreds of thousands of Utahns, including Social Security numbers. That cost taxpayers millions of dollars. We had to foot a $2 million bill alone just to monitor the credit for those who got hacked. So to me, there's just too many opportunities out there, too many systems, too many people running them, too much room for human error for us to promise that our systems are totally hacker-proof. Straight ahead, we're changing up the discussion. The state's top unemployment experts calling the show. Straight ahead. Why? We're going to ask him this question. Why is Utah's governor keeping the jobless from getting that $300 weekly payment, that free money from the feds?
Dave and
Dujanovic.
So have you heard?
David Dujanovic are now on your radio all the way to noon.
So catch up on the top stories early in the morning with us, Tim and Amanda.
And talk about it with Dave and Debbie between 9 and noon.
On KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.